Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I've got Ollie.
I have
Can you hear me?
You sound like you're in the
He's not
bath.
even ready, is he?
Yeah.
He's not even ready.
What is that?
He's already 15 minutes
Oh,
late.
are you actually in the bath?
Nick, can you actually hear me okay? Or do I need to use my
I can hear
headphones
you
and
fine,
mic?
mate.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful to hear your lovely voice on this first podcast.
Hello?
Hello.
I'm going to hear you. I'm just going to get my headphones.
Jesus, he's not ready. He's probably making some noodles, isn't he?
That was Half Man, Half Biscuit singing Alehouse Futsal. Check them out on Spotify. Hello, and welcome to the Futsal Show Episode 1, Series 1. I'm Damon Shaw, and today we have Ollie and Nick, the other two directors of the Futsal Shop, and we're going to talk futsal.
Each one of us, I believe, has a few questions for each other so we can get down and deep with the team behind the Futsal Shop. And then we're going to have a bit of a conversation. We've got a few questions about futsal as well, specifically for you, Oliver,
That,
I believe.
Damon,
Some questions are coming for you.
it sounds like you've got it all planned out, but who are you? We haven't really said anything of value yet. It's just been, we've just been talking about what we're doing and how we're doing.
Yeah, well, you don't always need to say things of value, Ollie. Have you ever listened to Radio 1? They don't say anything of value.
That's actually true. I listened to Chris Evans on Radio 2.
Yeah, he doesn't say that much of value occasionally.
He doesn't say really anything. Well, he talks a lot, but...
But yeah, this is going to be a conversation. We're going to get different people on each week, but we're just going to talk. We're just going to talk futsal.
Mostly about futsal, right?
Mostly, yeah. Not today. Today is about us, about the guys running the futsal shop.
Which is
and
standard
how
about
we
futsal.
Link to futsal.
Of course it's linked to futsal, because we are the futsal shop. And this...
Well, Ollie, your link's tenuous at best.
So. Ollie's got some really good questions coming specifically directed at him.
I don't have any questions. I've got to answer these questions, or...
Yeah,
of course you do. Sounds...
Wait a sec, though. But when are we doing the introductions about ourselves?
Shall we do that now?
I think so. I think that would be wise, wouldn't it? Just a little bit.
Well,
who are
I mean,
you, Damo?
That's a good place to start. Who wants to go first?
I think Ollie should go first. He's so keen.
I'm not keen. I'm not keen. My name's Ollie Burt. And
come on, Ollie
what,
Burt.
What's
come
my,
on,
last,
tell
what's
us who
my
you
last
are,
name?
Why you're here.
Because about 10 years ago or something like that, no, a bit more, Damo roped me in, didn't he? Got me into futsal. So, do I need to explain how I got into futsal, or
you don't have to explain. You can explain whatever you want. This is just a little. This is your 30 seconds, your highlight.
I've already 30 seconds are already gone. I think for me.
I'll
start again.
We are struggling with your connection a little bit, Ollie.
Oh no.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Well, we can start it again. Who am I? I'm Ollie. I'm a designer. Work in Norway. And about when was it, Damo? Back in 2005. I just hear laughter. Help me out, Damo. What was it? When did we go to uni together?
2005. No, it was before then, but
yeah.
We started the futsal club at Teesside Uni 2005.
Yeah, and that's when you roped me into futsal, and I'd never heard of the sport in my life before.
Neither did I, to be fair.
And yeah, exactly.
No one had.
And then ever since then, I've been involved with futsal. But it was back in what 2000 and. Why do I just hear Nick laughing? Is he laughing?
Is that you laughing, Nick, or is it like your dog?
It's me
crazy.
Laughing, sorry. Sorry.
it's quite hard. It's quite hard to, you don't know whether or not to just say, hey, what, who you are and then what you do right now, or to actually go back into the history and actually.
What's your name? Where did you come from?
All right, start again. Okay, I'm Ollie. I'm Ollie and I live in Norway and I'm a designer.
What do you design? What's the best thing you've designed?
Hi, well, that's a really hard question. I don't know, actually.
It's an interview, though. You're supposed to think about these things.
Yeah. I've never really been interviewed like this before. That was a very, you started straight off with a really hard question.
Just name something. You don't need to actually tell us what your best is. You could just go, screw it, a unicorn. And we'll be happy.
Yeah, that. We'll get to that later, can't we?
You want to do everything later by the sounds of it.
Please do.
Perfect. So when you agreed to come on this podcast,
pretty sure
did
that
you actually not want to be on it and not want to talk? What?
I'm pretty sure that in intros, they just say who they are. And
yeah, and then sometimes you get asked questions and you just sort of give an answer and maybe explain that answer a little bit. Or you could just say,
I'm a graphic designer. Stuff, right? Have we got anything at the moment? I don't think so.
Okay, Ollie, how did you get involved in the futsal shop?
Can I just ask one question to you, though, mate? I thought we were going to intro ourselves first just to say who we all are before we start asking each other questions.
Okay, go on, intro yourself.
Can you do yours first?
Okay, I'll go first. Okay, yeah, so I'm Damon Shaw. I'm a futsal coach, futsal manager, currently working in Malta with Swihe United. I've been involved in futsal for 13 years. This will be my 14th season. And the futsal shop came about, I think it was 2014 we started. And it basically came about because of a lot of people came to me saying, Damon, where can I get trainers from? And I always said, well, people wanted Munichs, people wanted the Kelmes, the Jomas that they saw people wearing. And people came to me saying, where can I get them? And this happened so much, I thought, well, there's got to be a market there for it. So that's where the futsal shop was born from. And then that's when these two boys got involved with it as well, Nick and Ollie. Nick, tell us about yourself.
A football coach and a football player at the time, as many of us were, for the Teesside University. And I doubled up playing for both in the end. And then with a bit of time travelled by, I decided I preferred futsal over football. And then on top of playing, I did some coaching, used my degree a bit, strength and conditioning, did some sessions with different clubs, smaller clubs, bit on the national side, just kind of mixed it up. And then obviously got involved in the behind the scenes with the futsal shop with you guys. And I've sort of fallen into the role of procurement and sorting out the sales, really, because I'm the lucky soul that gets to keep all the stock on site. So, and that's kind of where I went.
Postman.
Yeah. So that's it, really. I'm just an avid futsal player, kind of struggling to play anymore, being sort of mid to late 30s.
Late 30s, yeah.
Well, I mean, 35. I'm not 36 yet, so still mid.
I'm nearly 35 too. Do you remember the conversation we had, Nick, when you got in touch with me saying, do we still have a contact for area? You want to get back involved selling kit? Do you remember that conversation?
I can say yes, but I've got a very bad memory. So let's just say yes.
So you got back from Australia. You got in touch with me. And at that time, it was myself and Ollie sort of getting everything started. And it was like a bolt from the blue. We needed someone in England to look after the stock. So, no, it was perfect, perfect timing. You coming back and we had that conversation. And that's when it really started going. So I was going to start the futsal shop with two other people. One of them had some money. Well, you reckon he had some money that he was going to invest in it. I had the idea. And then it came to the crunch and he didn't have the money. He didn't have the... It wasn't that committed to it, so that's where you two guys came in. But we needed someone in.
So was it your idea, Damo, or was it was it someone, one of the other two boys, or how did it?
No, work? It was the same as with you guys. I roped you into it, basically. I was roping two other people into it. It's always better to work as a team. You know, it was an idea. It was actually D. Do we know D10? If I'm calling by D10, Daniel Capolaro. I had a spell with him in Spain, and we started chatting. We, you know, the initial conversations, I bounced off him quite a lot. And I remember sitting in a pub in Edinburgh, and we drew a little. Well, I drew some little designs for the logo, and one of them, obviously, went into the logo that you did in the end, Ollie. So it was going to be me, D10, and another person. That was the initial. We had a few meetings, we had a few chats, but. We've still got the emails as well, Ollie. I think you're included in them. There was a few other people that we were going to get involved, and it turned out that you were the only one serious out of that group, and then Nick came along.
Yeah, I just remember you email it. We've done some work together. I mean, like,
sorry,
we started Teesside University off, and I didn't really understand what futsal was or anything like that. You seem to have a way better idea, and I just. Just basically,
I'm getting nothing here, guys. Slave.
Ollie's speaking, but it's a bit broken up.
We'll be right back after.
He's gone.
Nick's gone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.
We can cut this, though, can't we?
Oh, yeah. I'll have to do some cutting up, but.
Yeah, you have to cut the crap bits out. But,
yeah, just start that bit again. Nick will join in again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, just carry on.
Yeah, so roped me in as a little slave with Teesside University starting their futsal team up. And I remember that I didn't have a clue what futsal was. I can't really remember. I just thought it sounded like it would be fun and we get to start our own club. And you basically led it. And I was just there to help in whatever way. I don't really think I was that much help. I think that I think that
sorry, guys, I thought we were going to an advert there.
Welcome.
I thought we were playing some music.
Yeah, I
right?
think they probably heard the news or, yeah, local advert for.
Yeah, I was just saying, Nick, that after I left Teal, like, you know, stayed in touch with you, Damo, and you asked for a couple of posters to be made. I think I remember making one poster for your world record attempt, longest match or something. And then it was like a couple of years after that, it was then you came out and had this idea. And I thought it sounded really interesting because there was nothing else like it. And I think you sold it in really well. And I still haven't met Nick. That's a fun fact.
Hello.
Welcome back, Nick.
Welcome back, Damon.
Okay, so we've just been away to test if that first bit was working. It seems to have all done all right, so we'll crack on when Ollie comes back.
I've transferred over to a different set of headphones that don't actually have a mic. So technically using the phone mic. Can you hear me properly?
Yeah, you sound really good. Hey, Ollie. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Perfect. So where were you, Ollie? I think you were in the middle of telling us an anecdote.
I think I was just saying about how I'd never met Nick ever. In person, and was talking about how you roped us into the futsal shop, or how it all began. And I just remember getting the email from you and not really knowing what it was, but I thought it was a really good idea that you had. And then it was then, if I remember rightly, it was basically, let's make a logo. And I don't remember if you had a website up already.
I'd set something up. I'd set a basic website up using WordPress and WooCommerce. And it worked. It did the job. Because initially, because the funding fell through,
the person that was going to put some money in didn't come through. So we had to start off by selling trainers on a pre-order basis to get the funding in. We started with Kelme, did a big pre-order for a load of Kelme trainers. Each one of those people that bought into it got a share in the futsal shop, and they still have. And there's quite a lot of the futsal community that own a little piece of the futsal shop. And that's how we raised the capital to get started. We had a basic website, it worked, PayPal and all that. But then it wasn't until you came on board, Ollie, that we redesigned it, got a beautiful logo.
Was Nick part of it?
Of course I was.
No, you weren't, Nick.
Yes, I was.
Remember?
Where do you think all the Kelme trainers went to?
No, not right away. You weren't there at the start.
I was there when we did the before we did the launch and got people to invest, because I was part of that campaign.
Are you sure?
Because I believe we got 29 people or something to that effect, Don.
27. Yeah.
I was close enough. And we used that money to, and the profits from that money, as we still do to this day, to purchase those trainers plus some additional ones. So whatever the profit was on them gave us a little bit extra capital to buy some more trainers. We obviously got those in. I got those in, dished them out, and then we got some more, and that's where our first order came in. So we started with 27 pairs of trainers, and yes, I was there then. Good to know I made an impact.
No, because my my sister started off selling them, delivering them, and didn't you have to go and pick my sister's?
She got them dropped off at hers, because do you remember I was staying in a shared accommodation in South Manchester. I just got back from Australia however many months before, was working back for my old employer, a very large five-a-side company. That's what they do on the radio station, where they avoid saying the name.
And there are other five-a-side companies out there.
There are other
five-a-side. We can say what we want.
This is the UK number one, apparently. I shouldn't actually say that, because if anyone did end up hearing this and they thought I was being slanderous, they'd probably take me to the hill. She did. You're right. They went to hers, and she may have dished out a couple of them, because I went and got the packaging and the trainers and filled my boot up, my Ford Focus, my T-Reg Ford Focus. It wasn't even that long ago, but it was a dreadful car. I had no money when I got back from Australia, so I bought a little banged out car for 400 quid. Did the job.
Yeah, so that's where it all started. Sorry, there was some crossover, but you didn't come on board right at the start. That's why I had to get my sister involved. And just to clear up, I was living in Spain at the time, so obviously I couldn't be doing that side of it. So I needed someone that could do the distribution, which was my sister initially. But then...
So Nick wasn't a founding member then, basically. Ah, interesting.
No, well, I mean, technically Damo's the only founding member.
Yeah, I mean, we officially founded it together, the three of us, later on, because the official legal stuff didn't get done until February 2016, was it, or 15? 2015, it must have been.
Yeah, over the same year, but same financial year, but later, yeah.
But we started November the 10th, 2014, we launched the website, which was it your logo, Ollie? Or had I put one together on...
You had one of your own, I think.
It wasn't very good. I mean, it was the basic idea, but it wasn't.
And then I remember getting the piece of paper from you with the scribblings on and the drawings. And I think one of those may have had the idea behind putting the writing inside the halfway circle.
Yep.
And basically from there, and then we just cracked on. But it was that was the right at the very beginning. We didn't know where it was going or what were we doing, you know, at all. We just wanted to help, didn't we, in some way?
Yeah, so futsal needs some commercialization. It needs people that are gonna help the sport grow and make its own money. Every and this was the idea behind it as well. Everyone in the country that's playing futsal spending money on trainers. Looking at the numbers, that could be, that's a lot of money that's going to other companies that don't necessarily care about futsal. If we can capture all that and put that into sort of one place, then there's money for futsal. So we basically need to capture that. be invested in futsal and help the game grow rather than helping football grow or helping big companies grow? Or
if that money stayed in futsal, then we could help more teams with sponsoring and be able to provide more things for them. So definitely would help keeping the money in.
Yeah, I think... Sorry, go on, Damon.
I was just going to say, it's like, it's really sort of weird talking about this. I don't talk about the very beginnings very often, to be honest. I've got all the emails occasionally, they'll pop up on Facebook, the memories and stuff, but it's really weird talking about how it all started and looking where we are now.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, even like you said about you, you know, I forgot your sister got the stock at the beginning. You forgot that I was, I mean, I remember being around when we were getting the ambassadors on board, the shareholders. And it's, you forget that we had that WordPress website. I remember logging in and doing edits and adding stock and bits and bobs like that. And we are a world away. But look, do you know what? I think would be good to move on to then. We've talked about questions. I think this is a perfect sort of segue into helping people understand a little bit more about what we're doing and why we're doing it. Because futsal is a very precious area. And I think I've experienced from a playing point of view, I've played, as an English player, I've probably played for, me and a few other people have played for some of the most amount of teams, if that makes sense, in the UK. I've played for Middlesbrough, Liverpool, Tranmere, Manchester, Stockport, and the University of Nottingham, and Teesside University, if you take that into account as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been around, I understand the community, but people can get a bit caught up in what's going on in their area. And some people can be a bit defensive about it. And I think the futsal shop is a prime example of that. We've put this here to help people, but some people don't necessarily want help because they're worried you're trying to take advantage. So I think this is a good opportunity for us to sort of express to people why we're doing what we're doing and how our aim is to benefit the sport.
Definitely.
So on that note then, Damo, do you mind if I give you a question?
Not at all. Fire away. That's what we're here for.
So,
is this the question about why you dropped it?
Apparently, you dropped me on my last ever game for Borough. I don't remember that.
You don't remember? Oh, my God.
I've got this brilliant, I don't know what you would call it, a habit or something to that effect, where anything traumatic I seem to block out. So it's fine. It was obviously traumatic. And I just don't remember it. So,
to be fair, and I think Ollie wants to bring this up. So to be fair, so just for those that don't know, Nick and I were together at Teesside Junior Middlesbrough. And this was the 2009 season. Nick was in that squad that got to the finals. We played Genesis and Tranmere in the group of three semi-finals. And yeah, Nick picked up a little bit of an injury on his ankle in that first game. And I had to drop somebody for the second game. And to be honest, it made it easier that you got an injury. It made the decision slightly easier that you picked up that injury. But you were devastated. It was going to be your last match and you weren't happy about it. But
doesn't sound like
it was not an easy decision, obviously. But you can't have sentiments. When you're choosing a team, when you're picking the starting five or you're naming a squad, you can't have sentiments. So unfortunately, even though we were good mates, still are. But you get, as a coach, well, you get accused of that. You get accused of favouritism and picking your friends. But yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, as a player, some players will hold that sort of thing as a grudge. Well, obviously, we now run a business together. You know, definitely not something that got held there. But, you know, I think the reason people think those things is because you do witness it, unfortunately. You know, we used to have silly little games where we would sit. Who sits closest to Damon will get picked. No, that's not how it works. So you'd sit close to Damon. Oh, I got picked. If we're in your line of sight.
Damon. Mate.
Am I? I do apologise.
Yeah, you sounded a bit like it.
So, Damo, then.
Your original question, yeah.
So, I think, in light of what we're doing, what would you consider the futsal shops? Because I don't think people see this, because I get people ask, Robbie Betson, for example, England international, undergone a couple of injuries over his time, but an absolute, for me, yeah, quite a few. You know, he's quite a pillar in my sort of experience of futsal through the years. And even he, being quite a good friend of mine, will on occasion ask, are you working full-time in the futsal shop now? So what's the futsal shop's position in the community? What do we actually do and where do we stand? I think that would be a good question for you to answer to let people know a bit more about us and what we do.
Where do we stand? It's seen a bit of an evolution. I was going to say evolvement. So we've seen a bit of an evolution over the last couple of years. I think we've gone a little bit more media as opposed to just being a shop. But right from the start, the idea was to help people, to help clubs, to help leagues, to help the players, to give back, to keep the money in futsal.
So can I just stop you on that then quickly? So you're saying keep the money in futsal. Lots of people, when come to us for quotes, and that, you know, they do get us to price against some pretty big companies, and there's only so much we can do. You're saying keep the money in futsal. So what do we do with that money?
We spend it on prostitutes and drugs, obviously.
Perfect. And that is our segue into being presenters on Radio 1.
Exactly.
Be all over us for that.
I thought you were going to say our first song.
No, so, you know, to really get into that question, without going into too much sort of specifics, none of us have taken any money out of the company. We've all put money in. There's probably about £7,000 or £8,000 of direct loans in the company. But we're all doing this for fun. Obviously, we see a long-term benefits, long-term growth of a company. But we're doing this for fun. This is a 10 o'clock on a Monday night after we've all worked. We're doing this now for fun.
Seems like Damon Shaw wants this show for himself by the looks of it. Keeps kicking us out.
I don't know how much of that got missed. I was really on a roll then, and then it all went.
No, it cut off. It cut off when you get talking about fun. We're doing this for fun. It's what we do at the end of, you know, a hard day's work. Actually, work. We do work. You know, it's a good thing. We do this on the side.
Yeah, we've all got full time jobs. Ollie works as a designer in Norway. Nick's. Still don't really know what Nick does, but he works in Nottingham. And obviously, I've now moved out to Malta and I'm working for a club over here, so this is an extra.
I'm playing tennis.
Part-time coach.
He's a tennis coach.
I'm a professional tennis player, I'll have you know.
I cannot imagine you being good at tennis, but we'll breeze over that.
Right.
So where did you get to before it cancelled? What if you want to carry on?
I don't know.
If you were
well, that's fine. So you basically got up to the point you were letting the listeners know that, you know, we do this for fun in essence, but we don't take anything out. And so I guess the point I was getting at with the question was to kind of drive home to people that we genuinely are doing this for futsal. And by that, we started off offering 27 pairs of Kelmy. That was our first offering. We got some shareholders on board. And now we offer a range of things. We've got accounts with various different brands like Mitre, Precision, Umbro, Kelmy, Munich, Area, so on. We also now sell goals, we sell cones, we sell kits. You know, we've expanded and we've sold to the Irish FA, we've sold to academies around the country, we've done bits for the English FA, we've universities, we've supplied, you know, the point is, instead of us being greedy and doing this as a little hobby to give us a tiny little bit of pocket money, which is essentially what it would be if you look at it from a futsal perspective in the grand scheme of things, we've used that money in kind of a savvy way. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to compare us to someone like Amazon in the sense of what we're going to achieve or what we're achieving. But, you know, there's times where Amazon was making a loss in principle, but they reinvested. And that's what we've done. And it's to give something to the community because we all did it. I remember when we first started, when I first started playing, you know, back in the noughties, 2007 or whatever, we went around TK Maxx and Sports Direct trying to find a single pair of futsal trainers. you know, and hope they had your size. You didn't care what color it was, because odds are they had one color. So we've fine nowadays, you can buy from ProDirect and JD Sports and all these different people, but are they doing it for futsal? Are they going to invest the profits and then bring you more ranges? No, they're not. So that was kind of where I was going with that. I think that's something that not everyone really realizes about us. And it, you know, we do all have jobs. Ollie's got a job as a designer and he works full time and then some, plus he does projects on the side for designing. Damon, same principle, coaching, then additional coaching projects, getting himself trained up, training other people. Myself, the futsal shop, I have a full-time job as a sales and marketing manager, which you should remember this by now. And then I also have my own little side projects where I have a vintage pallet co company where I make shit out of wood. Shouldn't have said shit, but I did.
Hey, you're promoting your side project.
You know, and that can take me 20, 30 hours in a week on top of my 40 hours I'm doing. You know, we all do. We all make time. You know, like right now, in between our little podcasting, I'm sorting out a quote for the Irish FA because they've come to us needing some more equipment for a new contact we've got there. So, you know, we work round the clock and we don't take anything from it, but we do it because we enjoy it.
Absolutely. No, that's... I think before I cut out, I'd got onto a little bit more of that as well. Hopefully, I've not missed too much. But
if the listeners didn't hear it, then I'm having credit.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think us people need to know that. People need to know what we're doing this for and what it's costing us, not just financially, but time wise and effort wise, what it's costing us to actually run this. It's a daily job, I think, for all of us. You know, there's stuff going on every day. There's a to-do list for all of us. I'm sure of it. I'm, you know, just looking at mine now. I've got 7 or 8 things that need doing tomorrow morning before I get cracking on with my actual job. You know, so it's, we do it for the love of it. We do it because we want to give back to futsal, and yeah, that's why we're still here.
I think what's been really nice the last few months is watching our social media grow. So you touched on that a little bit, Damo, with the media. But just to actually have so many messages coming through and people wanting to share videos with us that we can then share with the community, and it builds, and just some people that ask for advice or support and all sorts of different things like that really sort of makes it feel like we're going in the right direction, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Ollie, I've got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you prefer the 3-1 or the 4-0 when playing against teams with a zonal defence?
Yeah, I mean, I do like the 3-1. I like it when the three players sort of push on to the one at
when
the
they
front,
push on.
I'm guessing. Yeah. And It's a thing I think is very, very useful in futsal. So yeah, that's my
Nailed it.
On that. Yeah, is that the right answer?
Pretty much your way for B standard, Ollie.
Well, there we go.
You'd have maybe dropped a couple of points,
the qualifications.
You made it up in the closing.
Yeah, there we go. So I have a question for you then, Dave.
Yep.
How did you actually hear about futsal?
What, sorry?
How did you hear about futsal? What was the reason for you starting Teesside University Futsal Club?
Right, I'm just getting a little bit of that. I think it's recording, but I can't hear it. Can you try again?
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Well, I said, what was the reason... How did you hear about futsal? What was the reason for starting University of Teesside Futsal Club?
I'm going to guess you said, how did I hear about futsal to get me involved in starting Teesside Uni Futsal Club? Is that right?
That's the one.
Awesome.
That is the question.
Awesome. So it's a long story, but I'll keep it short. I used to run a 5-a-side tournament with my friends back in Clitheroe. And in doing so, I wanted to make that a bigger thing. And it was a 5-a-side tournament. We played in AstroTurf with hockey goals. And I was looking into how we can develop that. And I found tournaments in, I think, Kazakhstan. I found this tournament in Kazakhstan that was advertised as a 5-a-side tournament. It was actually futsal. And I had this dream of sending the winners of my little tournament to play in this Kazakhstan Cup. Never happened, but it was
you know, I'm ambitious. I always look at the long term and the bigger picture. So actually, on finding futsal, then I looked into it more and I contacted FIFA, who then put me in touch with the FA and said, and they said, I'm welcome to run a league in the local area. And that was summer 2005. And then went back to Teesside Junior that September and started going about setting up a club. That's the short version. And then from there, so with you, Ollie, we set up that club. We did a freshers' fair. We had 78 people come to the trials. Do you remember any of them?
That was amazing. Yeah, of course I remember. It was amazing. I didn't realise that we were going to get so many. And so many players that then didn't go on to play 11-a-side because they enjoyed it so much.
On that first night in the trials, there was one Ben Mortlock.
Indeed.
You might remember.
He's the one I remember the most.
Yeah, it was such a good thing. Like, he came to you and he said to me, he saw the futsal stand and he couldn't believe it because he'd just played in the FA Cup that summer with his local Grimsby team. And he was looking for futsal and he didn't think he'd find it because back then it was even smaller than it is now. And he found it and he was absolutely buzzing. So he came to trials, he brought along Kurt Holmes.
The goalkeeper.
Yeah, both went on to play for England. Ben's still involved in futsal with York City and the England 19s. He also was involved with the England football team at the World Cup as a sports massage therapist.
Amazing.
And you know, that first year was amazing. We made some amazing friendships, some great experiences. We went abroad 3 times. I think we went to, it was Czech Republic, Belgium and Italy within that first year. It was such a great experience. You know, doing futsal back then and right through to now, it's given me some amazing experiences. So it cost me my degree. A lot of people said, don't be stupid, Damon, you've got to finish your degree. But at that point, I couldn't see a future in computer animation for me. So I put everything into futsal.
Yeah, I remember. You just basically stopped. You were basically doing the futsal, I remember. I had to stop doing so much futsal so I could actually pass my degree, but you did it the other way. But it worked. You can't complain about it.
I didn't really catch too much of that, Ollie, but I'm sure it was interesting.
I think it's recording. I did the quick test before. I think it's recording. So unfortunately, we can't react to it, but
we could just probably cool, assume. Ollie. Whoa! That's incredible.
That's the one.
We got a question for Nick, Ollie.
Perfect.
Yes! Ollie's gone.
Good question. Excellent. Waiting for this moment. This is what we're really here for. Now let's get on to the good stuff. So, what do you dislike most about Ollie?
What do I dislike most about Ollie? His accent.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what's his second?
And the fact that he's a Spurs fan.
Yeah, that is an awkward one.
He doesn't even like football. I don't think he likes football, but...
Technically, we can say one about him because I don't imagine he'll even listen to this because I don't think he likes futsal anyway. Therefore, why would he listen to the futsal show?
Exactly.
So, honestly...
Ollie is very much the layman when it comes to futsal, but in terms of design, he's up there with the world's best. He's done stuff for 20th Century Fox, Disney, Pixar. So yeah, to have him on board and doing all our design stuff, it's fantastic. He works a hell of a lot for his own company, but then the stuff that we need him to do for futsal, all the presentations and stuff has been such a big help. So important, yeah. Actually. You know, the first conversation with Ollie was, Ollie, how much can you do a logo for? I wanted it free. Obviously, he's done free stuff for me before, but I saw this going bigger. So obviously, I wanted to pay him something. But in the end, it was, well, why doesn't he get involved with the company? And he did that, and he's been such an asset.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say he put some absolute graft in. And for those people that did follow the league last year in the FA National League, the weekly graphics were essentially Damon getting the scores from wherever and putting them all across to Ollie, and then Ollie creating a quick little graphic so that we could get it shared, and then it would go out to everyone, and then it'd get hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands of shares across the network. So yeah, you know, he was doing that on a weekly basis, and you know, he is a layman when it comes to futsal. I think that's fair to say. I think he'll admit it. But he does a hell of a lot for what's going on in the game right now, and people won't even know who he is, and yet that's exactly where all those graphics come from. So yeah, he does. He puts the effort in, and he's the reason why there's such a good balance in our company and why the futsal shop is still, I'd say, going strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Should we go on to some questions from social media?
Yes. Do we want to get Ollie Burt back into the call? Is that possible?
It was a bit of a hindrance, to be honest, with his bad connection.
We can keep going without him if you want.
Let's see what these questions anyway. There's a lot of questions coming asking us about futsal development, but that's not what we're here for tonight. We'll do that in a separate episode, I think.
We'll make sure we get to them at some point.
But one that did come in was from Blaise Gap, good friend of ours. He's currently playing over in Portugal. And this is a good one for us to tell you what we're doing, basically. And he said, what can we expect to hear on this podcast? So, first episode, we're testing. We've never done this before. We're testing a new app. And we just wanted to get the people to know a bit about the futsal shop and what goes on behind the scenes. So Blaise has asked, what can we expect to hear on this podcast? What do you think, Nick? What ideas have you got for moving this forward?
Well, to be honest, I think we're going to hopefully be able to get quite involved with the season itself in England, because I think there's a lot of success across the globe, in Europe. Different countries have got a lot of success. But one thing that we're obviously quite prominent in is growing the sport in the UK. So I'd like to think our podcast will touch on any sort of interesting happenings, anything maybe from the FA that gets passed down, some interesting like design elements or anything like that, where they're looking to take things forward. But at the same time, maybe there'll be some crazy score lines or someone will do a crazy goal, because we get a lot of videos into the futsal shop from all over the world. But we also get them obviously from the English League. I think we'll also go on to topics like futsal in the Olympics, about the future of the game, where can we expect it to go. I also think we're going to have some good debates on the subjects of futsal versus football. And is futsal really just a tool for football, or is it going to end up the other way around? You know, I think there's going to be lots of areas we can really sort of open up, really, and get our brains going, but also get the listeners involved as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have some special guests on. Obviously, we've got you guys, we've got Nick and Ollie on today. We've got D10 coming on the show at some point. You know, he's a great guy. I worked with him in Spain for a bit. Such a good personality, and that shows through his videos that he does on his own Instagram. But yeah, talking about futsal and how we can help it grow in England. That's our ultimate aim. I think England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales. Obviously, we're English, so we focus a little bit more on England, rightly or wrongly. But that's where we've grown up playing futsal. But the Scottish League's coming on leaps and bounds. The Welsh League. I don't know what to say about the Welsh League, actually. I think it's had a bit of a knock with Wrexham leaving. So I don't know if it's going to grow this year or stay the same. But I mean, it's still going. And the champions, Cardiff, have competed well in the European Cup this week.
Yeah.
Then Northern Ireland, they're really catching up to the rest of the UK. You know, Belfast have had some decent results in Europe. When I say decent, that's just not heavy defeats, basically. So they've done all right in Europe. And then the national team with the women's side as well, you know, they are pushing on and really putting futsal on in the right place in Northern Ireland. So we want to cover all that and any sort of issues that come up, we'll have a chat about. So yeah, I think that's what you can expect to hear, Blaise. I think we'll always try and keep it informal, conversational, chatty. You might like it, you might not, but you know, there's plenty of podcasts as well. If you want something a bit more formal, I think we're we want to do this for a bit of fun as well for ourselves. It's great to chat futsal. Our Skype conversations sometimes are hilarious. So, you know, if we can pass on a bit of that and have a bit of fun as well, then absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think also it'll be interesting to, you know, you go back not even that many years where the English players weren't playing abroad. That wasn't really too known a thing. I think we go back to, I want to say 2009 or is it 2010? Matty Wooten, ex Middlesbrough and Teesside University player. And yep, you got approached and you were asked if anyone was interested in playing abroad. And Matty Woo at that point was, didn't really know where he was going. We'd all finished at uni. Everyone was moving away. And he took you up on the opportunity, didn't he? He said, I'm not saying I know a huge amount about the UK players that have gone abroad, but that's quite an early one, really. He went abroad, he played professionally in the Italian league. I can't remember which one it was. Was it C1 or...?
Yeah, I think it was C1 at that point. Now, I don't think it was a first. It might have been a first for English players in Italy. I don't think it was a first for English players going abroad, but it was, you know, for going to Italy, it was certainly one of the first. And yeah, it was such a good experience for him. You know, a lot more people have done it now, and we've got Mark Croft out in Italy at the minute. Liam Palfreman went to Italy for a season. Doug's been around and played in a lot of different countries, Croatia, Spain. Got Blazer, we just talked about, over in Portugal now. So it's definitely something that is happening more and more.
And do we think that's because of the popularity? I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, before my knowledge of Matty Wooten going, yeah, there probably were people that went abroad, but a bit like Tranmere were playing long before the game kind of started, before anyone really got into it, that they were getting on with, they were doing their thing, they were playing the UEFA Cup, they were doing everything right, actually, but no one knew about it. Mm-hmm. And so all these players playing abroad, is that because it's become a more known thing, do we think?
It's all the same reason I went to Spain. With the stage of futsal in England, it's not offering that elite level of learning and development, you know, for a player or for a coach. So I took it on myself to go to Spain to do my coaching courses over there, to learn as much as I can, get involved with teams over there, and you know, I had a great time over there in terms of my career. Also, it was a great lifestyle in Spain as well.
Can imagine.
You know, so I think people need to go abroad and experience it, and it's going to help England. It's going to help the future of the national team. Iceland, talking about football and their development, all of their players, I think, bar one or two, went abroad to play. They sent players abroad to play to get the experience, because in Iceland, they're not going to improve it enough to compete at the levels they did in the World Cup and the Euro. So I think that's a good thing for English players, and I'd certainly recommend any young aspiring English player to try and get abroad. They might not earn loads of money. They might even have to pay their own way a little bit, but certainly they'll get such good experience and it'll stand them in good stead for when the game does really take off in England.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I think the truth is the game is only so competitive still in England and even across the UK, but it's certainly improving. You're certainly seeing some players really, really coming through and coming into their own, but you still also, unfortunately, get the whipping teams, which is definitely, the gap is decreased massively. You know, you go to the very early stages. What was the name of the team? Wolves?
Ipswich Wolves.
Ipswich Wolves, who then went on to be Helvetia. Is that them?
Not quite. I think there was some crossover of people, but I don't think it was just a rename.
I think we hosted them, didn't we, at Teesside one time, and they absolutely went to town on us, if I remember correctly.
Well, it was only 7-2, if I remember rightly. It was a good game. We had a good crowd. It was the week before the first ever National League match, so it was our sort of final pre-season friendly.
Okay.
Before the league kicked off, and no, it was a really good event. It was, yeah, they were quality. I've still got the video actually. I'll share it this week on social. But you know, that was a whole different world. And yeah, teams in that league. Then our first league match, we won 10-1. I mean, that still happens. It can still happen in the Super League. It still will.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there were some teams as well. There were some scores like 19-0, 27-0, that sort of stuff. And those scores won't happen nowadays.
As a player, you didn't want to turn up. I remember going up, I think it was Hull, and almost feeling a bit bad. You know, A, travelling all that way for a game that turned out to not mean anything, in the sense that it was a win, so we could have maybe just took the youth players or, I don't know, something to that effect. But also, you know, just scoring at will, really, and it was a bit unfair because you had a couple of players that were clearly brand new, as in maybe their first ever game when we turned up on that day, with a couple of seasoned players. But that was it, and it made it tough, and that's, I think, why futsal has had its up and downs over the years. All of a sudden, it looks like it's picking up, and then a team or two drop out. But it seems like that's subsiding a little bit. And I think that's to do with, you know, the reputation's increasing. And one thing that we've been pretty massive on, and you mentioned this, we are the futsal shop. We are here to sell things to people. But the truth is, as we've mentioned, we're not taking anything out. It's almost like a not-for-profit business at current, because we just want to expand. But we spend a lot of time developing our social media. And actually, we're able to shed light on players. And when people come to us and say, I want an opportunity abroad, we share their videos. And actually, they do go, you know, they do get global hits. So it's something that is contributing, I'd like to think, from our point of view, to the game and to improving the English leagues and even the Scottish, Irish and the Welsh. But it's just an interesting one, isn't it? And I think as we continue each season, and everything will continue to get better, if the FA are doing the right things, the players and the coaches are doing the right things, players are going abroad and coming back, I think it's important as well. I think we're going to continue in the right direction, and we will just continue doing what we do, and we'll learn as we go along and see how else we can help.
Yeah, and talking about the status of the league, obviously everyone will have seen the new logos for the league. So we did that. That was, I mean, this is something we need to get Ollie back on to talk more about, and we'll probably do an extra episode on this, but hopefully that's also going to make the league a bit more serious. The league should become more well-known around the world, because when I was in Spain, people didn't even know we had a national team or a national league.
Yeah.
Until Baku United, and they put all the money in, went to the elite round of the European Cup. Until then, people didn't really know English futsal existed. You know, I'm talking about Spanish international players.
Yeah.
Javi Rodriguez, for example, he knew nothing about English futsal. They just didn't think it existed. They didn't think we cared about.
Just wasn't a thing. Out. Yeah, yeah.
But all those people also said, when France, England and Germany arrive on the scene, then futsal will become something bigger.
Well, and we're so starting to see that now.
Yeah, absolutely. And is that Ollie coming back in? I heard a beep. Never mind. And yeah, I think the English League is, it's getting there, and there are some serious teams. Helvetia, for one, that I don't know what their status is in terms of semi-professional, but they're certainly the most. They're the club putting the most in, I think, in terms of the investment into the playing squad, certainly paying expenses, yeah, or whatever, and getting the best players, getting the English national team players together, and. You know, behind that, you've got, and I'm going to talk on a number of times training. I don't think you can call a team really serious or elite until they're training 3-4 times a week. And I don't think anyone in England is. I think you might have been at Nottingham, was that right, Nick?
Yeah, in the first season that I joined, we had a Portuguese coach, Roger, and yeah, I mean, pre-season was hardcore. You know, we were comfortably. Three sessions was almost the minimum you would be expected to turn up to. I believe at least 4 or 5 was common, and then you'd get a friendly on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was full on, especially if you've got a full-time job and you're turning up. Now, luckily enough for University of Nottingham at the time, they were predominantly student-based, and they've still got a big student base in their national team. But, yeah, like, we were training a lot. And to be honest, you could see it in some players, the transformation. But I think that's the same football, futsal, any sport. If you dedicate that many hours, if someone's got a bit of talent, you get them fit, you get them playing that many hours per week, you can see a transformation. And I certainly saw it across many players unlike I'd seen in other clubs. And that was a merit to the coach, but also the sessions and the availability that people had to actually attend them.
Yeah, so you were training that much. Probably Loughborough have something similar because they've got full-time students in the team. Then they might have one or two players that can't do that level of commitment. But I think until we get to that level of training, 3, 4, even 5 times a week, even if it's amateur, I don't care. If I know people have lives and stuff, but just for example, the Greek league, it's all amateur. The Norwegian league, all amateur. But they're training every night. They're training Monday through to Friday. And in Norway, these guys have got good jobs. They're doctors, whatever. And they're coming to futsal training in the evenings for fun. But they're doing it 5 nights a week. They're putting in that commitment.
So
and I don't see that in England.
No, I wouldn't say I see that in futsal for sure. And I think the difference will be the foundation to answer my own question or my own statement that I'm about to make. But the foundation isn't necessarily there. But because in football, I've played semi-pro when I was younger. I did a stint at Didcot Town. I was at Botsford Town. The season after, they were in the FA Cup or FA Vase, I forget. And then signed on for CM Red Star when I was in the North East. And they were all paying clubs, so they were technically a semi-pro setup. But you only really had 2 or 3 sessions, and that's in football. But there, you know, as I was, maybe that's because there's a foundation there. Everyone's already had their growing up playing football. So you are now just basically forming a squad and trying to get people to know the tactics. Whereas, in my opinion, futsal in this country is still learning the game. And that's why you need the sessions, from my perspective as a player.
I'll put this out there. And I think if a club could get, wherever it is in the country, because I think there's an abundance of football players that are good enough in England. If a club could get a group of players together that would train 4 times a week, they would go a long way. If they can get to that level. I mean, teams at LSU are doing really well. They've got the England national team players. But outside of that, Birmingham, I think, are pushing to that level of 3 times a week. But I think you could push the top 3 or 4 if you're training 3, 4 times a week with a group of players and finding that commitment. And it's there. The number of players in England's phenomenal. There's phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And a good friend of mine, Mitro Martic, once said to me, don't cry over players that don't want to play futsal.
Yeah.
We find that a lot in England. A lot of people just, they're not bothered. And they won't turn up because of whatever reason. You've just got to find more players. In England, we've got such a big population, such a big level of ability in terms of footballers. I don't think there's reason to cry if someone can't come training. You just go and find the next one. Whereas on the other hand, now in Malta, with population less than 500,000, we're almost scraping the barrel when it comes to finding players.
Yeah, competition would be high, I imagine, to get them.
No. Yeah, but yeah, so obviously you've got Valletta who've just qualified for the main round of the Champions League. They can easily get the best Maltese players, and there's no sort of geographical reason to not join Valletta because it's such a tiny island. So, you know, the best teams will get the pick of the best players.
Yeah, understandable. Okay.
Right. Should we end this section, get Ollie back in and wrap up?
Yeah, we should do
that. Anything else you want to say?
I mean, we have a million things that we want to say, but this, you know, we've got all the podcasts in the future and all the podcasts in the world to do that when we want to do that. So let's try and get Ollie back in and go from there.
I do have one question that came from Instagram from Kilbride3. I think it might be towards you, Nick. I don't know.
Possibly.
Who is Neil Pallett?
Ah, Neil Pallett. Neil Pallett was a persona created for myself whilst on a stag do for a Robbie Betson, who is an England international futsal player, and his brother, Jamie, and Jason decided, because I make things from pallets into signs, furniture, whatever, they decided, instead of calling me Nick Hamblin, as my real name is, they'd rename me Neil Pallett. And basically, every time they saw a pallet or saw something with a pallet on, they tagged Neil Pallett and me on Facebook. And that was fun. still happens sometimes.
The times I look at the times at Teesside Junior Middlesbrough with those guys was amazing.
It was a good time, and you know, a lot of it came and was revolved around futsal.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I'm gonna end this section. That's a good half an hour chat there. We'll get Ollie back in and we'll wrap up, because this could be a 45-minute podcast if everything's recorded properly.
Can I have extra thick, please?
Yep, no problem. Hey, Nick.
Just us again.
Just us. Just the two of us. I shouldn't sing. I can't sing at all. Hey!
So I was, so basically I was thinking that...
So, Ollie, we were just saying
yeah,
there was about three of the guys and you managed them all on your own and we had a great night.
I managed the three guys, yeah.
Sweaty,
it was a four. It was a 3-1 system, I think.
It was like a hog roast. Okay, we're going to wrap up, Ollie.
Yep. Yeah, just give me a finish.
We're not going to wrap Ollie up.
That's great.
Nick, remember that time we wrapped you up in sellotape?
Yes, and put me on a chair and carry put me outside on my house.
Excellent. I'm glad. Did you carry on?
I wonder if those photos still exist.
Can I do my introduction now?
Can you do your what, Ollie?
Can I do my introduction now?
Genuinely not getting anything he says, I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, I still have the video of us wrapping you up, but it's on my old hard drive, and I'm waiting for the technology to arrive that I can put it onto my new computer. Because that was funny.
The technology of what? Plugging a cable into it and...
No, it's like an old hard drive. Like,
pretty sure the technology will be out.
Yeah, but I've still not found it. If anyone listening, which is a long shot in itself, knows how to get from an old hard drive, from just a PC, before we had laptops and stuff, to a USB, that would be great. Let us know, and we can see Nick being wrapped up in sellotape and put on a chair.
Share it on social media. But it'll be done with a camera that was so old that it'll be really pixelated, and you won't know it's me, and I can deny it.
You've just admitted it. You remembered it.
Yep, no one's listening. So I was thinking another thing to do would be to get you guys at home to suggest some future topics for us. We've obviously talked about... thanks to Blaze asking the question, what we're going to talk about. We've mentioned some things we might cover, but if you've got anything that you want to cover, maybe this is the opportunity to ask us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Anchor, you know, we're everywhere.
Just search the Futsal Shop, you'll find us across everything. I think we've got, you know, the Futsal Shop will find us on any social media platform.
So to conclude then, Ollie's contribution, minimal. Probably going to have to dock some shares out of the company on that, but that's fine. We can discuss that off air.
He's not even bothered.
Possibly not even there.
I don't think he's all there, is he?
So, if we spoke about on today's show, because at this point, Dan will have done a very good job editing and putting this together and probably some nice outro going on right now. If you've got anything you want to know, you can comment or send us a message and we can clarify any information and try and help out and come back to you on that.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. We'll put this out hopefully tomorrow. I know Carl Wilkinson has a long drive back up from London tomorrow and he's to the first episode of the show. But so I'm going to try and get it done.
When he's listening to this, if you've added this bit in, it won't be tomorrow anymore. It'll be now because he'll be listening to us.
Exactly. Hi, Carl. Let us know what you think. No, honestly, let us know what you think. We want to do this regularly, certainly throughout the season. We want to talk about all the topics we can. We want to discuss everything. We've had loads of questions come in today that were about futsal and the development of it, which wasn't for today's show, but we'll keep them on file. And we'll cover them as soon as we can.
We can talk as big or as little as you want. If you want us to talk about the global game, if you want to talk about the local game, if you want to talk about Stuart Cook's influence on the English game, we can talk about that. You just come to us and we will have a chat.
And also, if anyone wants to join us, it's very easy. We can set up a little, like we're doing now with Nick and Ollie. We can invite you to our session. You can come in and discuss anything, like it's a phone call, and that will get recorded and put on the podcast. So we can have anyone from the community coming on. We'd love that. We'd love to come and we'd love to speak to you about absolutely anything you want to do. We can even do phone-ins at some point. You know, like, what is it, 606, talk, sport, that sort of stuff. We'll get people on. Let us know what you think. Honestly, don't be afraid to share your opinion and let the futsal world know what you think.
Oh, can we get a text-in number? You can text us on 222244, or you can contact us on social media at thefutsalshop.co. No, there isn't a .co. Never mind. Not very good at this.
That number's... I'll edit that out. Don't text that number.
Probably cost you a fortune. It's probably some naked ladies line.
And then we'll get in trouble.
Or commission. Wait.
That's a good idea. We could do that.
Good. So, Ollie, any final comments?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Oh, dear.
I've been listening to you, but I haven't been able to say anything because it doesn't seem to work for me. This
what did you call me? Anyway. So, in conclusion, I've been Nick Hamblin. Your host was Damon Shaw. And in sporadic bits, we had Oliver Riches.
Okay, so in conclusion, I've been Damon Shaw. We've had Nick Hamblin on the show and Ollie Riches. Why is the not host concluding the show?
This is like, I told you this is Top Gear. I'm Jeremy.
You're the host.
Ollie's
I'm Damon.
I'm the stick, because I don't really appear very
Captain Slow,
often.
You keep turning up for the podcast when we finish. Have you been working out?
No, this...
How do you know?
Perfect.
Awesome. Let's sign out, guys. Get.
I'm genuinely interested. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm genuinely interested to hear what you talked about, to be honest.
You'll have to listen. You'll have to tune in.
Yeah.
To the football show on Anchor.
Perfect.
Definitely.
Right. Oh, suggest a song. Suggest a song and I'll put it in the intro. Any song. We can use Spotify.
Well, you can't do any song because we're going to have to pay for that.
No, it's part of the app. You can play the song.
Outcast, Miss what Jackson. What song?
I'll think of something. We'll think of something. I want a song for that. You know, after the intro, and then it plays a bit of a song, and then we go into the topic.
I think we need to get one designed.
Oh, yeah. If anyone wants to do a jingle. What?
Yeah. There's a website for Fiverr, and you pay someone to make a jingle. We could do that.
Yeah, I know.
If anyone at home is a jingler, we would be happy to hear your jingles and give them a jangle.
Yes, that'd be cool. We need jingles. If anyone wants to do that, get in touch. We'd love it. What else do we need? What other help do we need? Let's fish for free stuff. If anyone wants to send a pizza... No, that won't work. That's not live, is it?
I can have that pizza anyway. I don't mind when it turns up.
Yeah, if any pizza companies want to send a pizza to Nick Hamblin, we'll give you a shout out. Perfect. On air. Yeah. Tell you what, in like 20 years, you're going to get a pizza.
When someone finally listens to our podcast.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Right. Good night, boys. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
We are welcome.
Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Stay classy.
Wales vagina.